How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. It is Thursday, so we got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. If you want to give us a call about Ring of Honor, NXT, Lucha Underground, TNA Impact Wrestling, any of these are fair game today, as well as all of the news we've got to talk about. It is with great sadness I report that it was not Shinsuke Nakamura versus The Drifter last night. I don't even know if we'll ever see that match. I presume we will. It's like they're teasing me with that one. Got a lot of news, including an injury to Bray Wyatt that took place on the WWE's European tour that we've been talking about for a while here. We've got John Cena's brand new television show debuting tonight. And believe it or not, it is going head-to-head with SmackDown on Fox. You have SmackDown on the USA Network and John Cena's True Grit, American Grit, I apologize, on Fox, which actually was taped right around this area. I believe they were taping out in Puyallup. I'd heard about that from a buddy of mine, Craig, who lives in Puyallup. Brian's friend Craig had all the scoops on John Cena's American Grit. You can check that out on Fox tonight if you're a big fan of John Cena, as I'm sure all listening to this program, of course, are. We can talk about the official signing of the bill to legalize mixed martial arts in New York City. It is going to be coming to Madison Square Garden, UFC, and maybe one other show in upstate New York before the end of the year. Talk about that on the program today. Dave Meltzer will be joining us, as always, at about 20 after for our usual segment, looking at the weekly Wrestling Observer newsletter, which is now available for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. We'll talk the big stories in that. Mike Sempervivi is going to be joining us. Phone calls, emails, text messages, so much stuff coming up. And we'll kick it off after the break. Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We will soon be joined by Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. We got a lot of news to talk about here today. I do have some sad news here at the beginning of the show. I don't have any other details except that Jimmy Jacobs, who is now working in creative at WWE, posted on his Twitter, absolutely gutted to hear of the passing of one of my closest friends, Josh Burgess, who wrestled as Christian Abel, apparently passed away today or yesterday or sometime very, very soon. No details on this, but I'm sure we'll hear more in the next couple of days. I believe this is the 10th wrestler death so far in 2016. So another rough year. And if we find out more, anything more about Christian Abel, we'll talk about that here on the show. We've got callers on the line. If you want to give us a call, the studio line, 425-488-0525, toll free, 844-411-5411. Text messages to 425-780-7566. This person has been waiting since before the show started. Studio line, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on? It's Buzz from Florida.
Yes, Buzz.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, since they turned the Wyatt's face, it seemed like, has there been any rumblings of any big plans for Bray Wyatt this year? I know he just got injured. I don't know how that will affect it, but any main event plans for him?
They had, you know what? It's funny. They've had a lot of plans for Bray Wyatt, and it doesn't matter because, as I talked about a couple of days ago, all they do is change their mind on a regular basis. A couple of months ago, the idea was that Braun Strowman was going to win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. He was going to eliminate Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt was going to go babyface, and Braun Strowman was going to wrestle Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. If you think any of that happened or is going to, think again. It's all been changed. So I don't know. They're going to do something with him as a babyface, but that's
it. Gotcha. And I guess just the second thing real quick is, I don't know if you know or anybody knows, but just kind of curious how long they plan on keeping Shinsuke Nakamura down there in NXT since I've seen they recently trademarked like his name and King of Strong style and some stuff like that. Just wanted to hear your thoughts on when they might bring him up. Thanks.
All right, thanks so much for the call. I think he's going to be down there for a little while. I'm not sure how long. Probably till the summer, I would guess. I don't know. But yes, they did trademark Shinsuke Nakamura, so he is going to be Shinsuke Nakamura. They're not going to get rid of his first name. They're not going to give him a new name. He is Shinsuke. And He is the king of strong style. I don't know if that's because when they went to the show in Dallas, they were surprised that everybody was chanting King of Strong Style and Shinsuke Nakamura, and they realized, my God, these fans know who this man is. But that's the plan, and we'll see when they decide to bring him up. Mike, are you there?
I'm here. I've been here the whole time. You just haven't decided to look over and call on me.
What are you talking about? You weren't here when we came back from break.
Yes, Ice Train played. I know all about this stuff.
Oh.
But hey, really, my question to you is, there was a lot of talk as we went back and forth, and the people called in, and you talked about Bray Wyatt. I've been talking about Bray Wyatt now for a long time, and there was one of those things that you cringed and said, just wait until after WrestleMania. So I think that may have been the first time a lot of people are hearing that that was the plan with Braun Strowman and the Battle Royal and the possibilities of it being on the main show and why the Wyatts weren't terribly involved or something like that. But do you think that Luke Harper being hurt put that whole thing down or what exactly? Because that probably shouldn't have stopped anything considering where they want to go with Bray Wyatt.
Well, they did lose Harper. And so if they would have turned on Bray Wyatt, you would have had the team of Braun Strowman and the Vintner as your two heels with no good working big man. So it's possible that that's why the whole thing changed. Maybe they just changed their mind like they always do. Maybe they realize Braun Strowman against Brock Lesnar is a terrible idea. Let's not book this match. Who knows? But
Braun Strowman and the Vintner running in for babyface pops is kind of ridiculous. And I'm not saying it would be any less ridiculous.
Why?
I don't know.
Dude, when this guy...
I just don't know.
When this Braun Strowman debuted, I said within a year, he's going to be a big dancing... I don't even
Norman
know how
lunatic.
I would describe him.
He's Norman gonna, the Lunatic.
Yeah, he's going to be a big, wacky, giant Eugene.
Santino or something,
which
yes.
still may happen for all we know.
Hey, the second page, WWE came out with a, as they do every year, with a WrestleMania kind of program / magazine, you know, retrospective. As you open it, the very first page is a 2-page spread of Brock Lesnar just kabonging Braun Strowman at the Royal Rumble. So, he may have come a little bit of a ways, but he's still got a long way to go.
Bray Wyatt yesterday at the show in Milan suffered a calf injury, an upper calf injury. We don't really know what that means. The match was stopped and he grabbed
his
knee.
Leg.
And I know that, geek. But as far as like long term, what does this mean? Is he going to be out of action any length of time? Is he back tonight? Is he back tomorrow? Is it a tear? We don't know any of that stuff. We only know they stopped the match. They took him backstage. There was concern it was his knee. If it had been his ACL or his Achilles tendon, which Rock actually tore. Rock tore his Achilles tendon, which is a terrible injury. That would have been real bad news. A torn calf muscle, if the muscle is torn, he'll be out of action a little while, but it's certainly, there are worse injuries he could have suffered. And maybe it was just a bad strain or a bad pull, and he'll be back in action very, very shortly. But he did go down. Not a good year for WWE in terms of injuries. And I believe it was on the European tour last year at this time that Seth Rollins went down with his injury that has kept him out of action forever. So take care of yourselves, everybody. Bonnie, you only have so many bumps on that bump card. To the studio line, you're on the air. What's up?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Yes, Jim.
I agree with you. I was disappointed by the NXT last night. Also, Brian, I was expecting to see Eva Marie and Asuka, and we got Tessa Blanchard and, what was it, Alexa Bliss?
That's right. Sorry. They're doing whatever they want to do.
I mean, you know, I like Tessa. Is she, like, just in there every now and then, or is she part of NXT now?
I actually don't know. I presume she's part of NXT right now.
Yeah, I don't think she is.
Really?
No, I don't think she's an official part or anything like that. I'll double check, but I'm almost positive that's on the radar. No, you know, negativity or anything like that. But whether she's officially on there or not, I don't think so.
And I think isn't Crazy Mary Dobson down there as Sarah Bridges?
She was down there, yes. Because didn't she have the match with Alexa Bliss where Alexa got really upset because somehow she did a high cross onto her face.
Yes.
Yeah, they had a right good match. I saw that match on NXT.
That was a right horrible match, Jim. Come on.
Oh, come on.
Physical.
You're a real tough one.
She landed on her face, and then Alexa got all mad and started stomping on her. It fell apart.
Oh, I was going to ask, do you think WWE will do a video tribute to Blackjack Mulligan anytime?
You know what's funny is somebody said that they had, like, a graphic and such for him at the beginning of Raw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't see it.
I saw the picture. It said Robert Windham, Blackjack Mulligan, and gave his when he was born and when he died.
I went back and looked. Am I out of my mind, or did they not? What happened?
And I'm surprised because it seemed to, I don't want to say lingered on the screen for a long period of time, but it seemed to be up there for longer than normal. Honest to God. So I don't know what the deal is, but yeah, when they came back, they had a solid 5 Mississippi count on that thing being up there.
It's weird.
I
lost
something for them. I think they should.
And by the way, I was alerted that it was Daniel Bryan that got hurt on the European tour. Seth Rollins blew out his knee. It was about 6 months ago, so my timeline was wrong.
Would have been a little bit later, considering you only won the title last year at this time.
That's right.
What did you think of Lucha Underground last night?
I'm watching it tonight. I'll watch that in NXT.
Okay, I enjoyed it. Let's put it that way. Have a good day.
Yes, thank you. A good evening, a good day, Jim. Should have asked him about Ring of Honor. He's the one that told me Ring of Honor was great, and then I watched it. Jim's ahead of the game in terms of some of this stuff here, but behind the times and other things. So just trying to tell me that.
Or he's so ahead of the times, he's next generation looking at things on you.
That Alexa Bliss match was not good.
Like looking at it, though.
We're going to head to a break in a moment. We'll be back with Dave Meltzer. Big Dave is going to be on the show. We'll talk all sorts of different topics with him. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. So the correct timeline is Daniel Bryan was hurt on the WrestleMania European Tour. Seth Rollins was hurt on the European Tour that took place in the fall. So now we're all clear. Dave Meltzer is here on the line with us here today. Dave, what's going on?
European Tour, he was hurt before the tour.
I missed the beginning of that. Say that again.
Daniel Bryan wasn't hurt on the WrestleMania European Tour. He was hurt before the tour.
That's right. But then he went on the tour, and that's when he was sent home, and that was right. The beginning of the end of that.
Right.
All right, we got to talk about this bill here today. And, of course, the bill I'm talking about is this bill to make a national holiday, the Dia de Lucha Libre.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
I guess. I don't know. Just a senator proposed it the other day. So yeah,
September 21st.
Yeah,
right around the time of the CMLL.
That would probably be like the anniversary of the debut of Lucha Libre of the CMLL promotion with Salvador Lutaroth in the 30s.
That's right, because they do the anniversary show late September every year. So.
Yeah.
I like it. Considering the amount of shows that take place in Mexico, sometimes on a weekly basis, on just a Sunday alone, can you imagine a national celebration of how many shows could take place at one time?
Yeah.
All right, so the actual bill we got to talk about here today is, it is confirmed, it's all signed, the bill to legalize mixed martial arts this morning. Ronda Rousey was among the individuals there, and they have announced a pay-per-view show, Madison Square Garden, Saturday, November 12th. The fact that Rousey's there, Dave, should we read anything into that?
Nothing more than normal. You know, I mean, if they're going to send someone, they might as well send, you know, to be there when they sign the bill, they might as well send their, you know, most popular mainstream fighter.
So what do you think we're going to have on that first? I know it's very hard this far in advance, but
it's really hard to say because it just depends on, like, a lot of different things timeline-wise. If Chris Weidman wins the championship, I would almost be certain that he would make his first defense there. If it works out, I think they would want to put John Jones and Daniel Cormier there, but I know that Daniel Cormier wants to fight sooner than that. But, you know, if they fight in, like, September, November would be too soon to do it. But those would be things. You know, Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm, or Ronda Rousey, Miesha Tate, or whatever. You know, Ronda Rousey fights very likely on that date. You know, they've talked about November being her return, so that fits perfectly.
Let me ask you about Cormier, because Cormier at first, this was months ago, he said, I don't want to fight in New York against John Jones because everybody's going to cheer John Jones and this and that. Now, he's saying, I don't want to fight in November because I want to fight earlier. He's like, it seems he's a rare guy that shouldn't everybody want to fight on that show? Because you know it's going to be huge. You know if you're getting a pay-per-view cut, you're going to get way more money fighting on that than any random show in September, I would think.
Well, the key is that he wants to fight two more times this year. And if he fights in November, there's no way he's fighting two more times this year. So that's the key, is that he wanted to get, because the way everything had been delayed, he wanted to get two fights in this year. So if he fights in August, let's say, he could fight again in December. So that would be, that's the mentality of just trying to get two fights in.
And is it
may just not work out.
Is it for financial reasons he wants two fights in, or he just wants two more fights
this year? At his age, I think he wants to get a couple fights in this year, yeah. I mean, it's not like he's going to go, I mean, win or lose with John Jones, it's not like his career is going to be much longer. I mean, he's going to be a broadcaster, and he's 37 years old, or almost 37. So, you know, I mean, he's towards the end, so he doesn't want to do a year with one fight when he's towards the end. So that's kind of the mentality. But, I mean, if the way it works out is he can't fight until, say, like October or even September, then yeah, might as well do New York, you know, because New York will be a big show and he's going to get a cut and all that. But, you know, he's going to make money with John Jones either way. That fight's going to
be Yeah, but I mean, if he does an August show, I guess if he's fighting John Jones in August, then he's probably going to make the same or similar fighting two shows than one blow away John Jones, Ronda Rousey, UFC New York show in November. So anything else as far as, I know they announced they're probably going to be running a show in upstate New York later on this year.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, they've been talking about that, an FS1 show. They promised four shows a year, so, you know, starting next year.
We were talking last night on the Wrestling Observer radio show about Bray Wyatt and the upper calf injury that he suffered in Milan. Do we have any update on that here today?
I haven't heard anything, no. I'm going to start checking on that.
So he was scheduled to be in the main event against Roman Reigns on all of these shows. So one way or the other, we should know something soon.
Very soon, yeah.
At least in terms of...
Today's show is going on right as we speak.
Short term. The Observer this week, you got a lot of stories, including a big story on Blackjack Mulligan. We talked last night a little bit about the death of Balls Mahoney. We got word right before the show went on the air that Christian Abel passed away. He'd be the 10th wrestler this year that has passed away so far. Do we know anything more on his situation?
No, I don't. I had not even heard that.
Yeah, it just came out on Jimmy Jacobs' Twitter. He'd done a lot of shows, done some Ring of Honor, if I believe. So that's a very sad story there.
Mm.
We've got a UFC show coming up this weekend as well. And what are we looking at for this weekend's show?
God, it's been decimated. The main event is Rashad Evans and Glover Teixeira. It's really the weakest show that they've done on Fox because the Dan Henderson Machida fight is off. There's Rose Namajunas and Tisha Torres are fighting. Khabib Nurmagomedov is fighting Daniel Horcher. So it's like, it's a Fox show. So I mean, it's one of your showcase TV events, but it's not. I mean, it's really not of the caliber of the usual ones. I mean, you know, action wise it might be, but I'm just talking about usually you get number one contenders fight on that show. And I'm sure that the winner of Evans and Teixeira will probably be in that top mix at light heavyweight. But it's, you know, my feeling is that both of those guys, I mean, they both fought John Jones and they both didn't do anything with John Jones. And they're both older fighters too.
Obviously, the big names off the top are bad, but Khabib and Tony Ferguson, I was really, really, really looking forward to that. I guess this could be used.
Fight.
Yeah, because, I mean, I look at it as both guys that, you know, if nothing else, and you're steps away from this, could both be threats, especially Khabib, to Conor McGregor. Now, obviously, they decided to go in a different direction.
Dos Anjos, Ferguson was being talked about for Dos Anjos. Khabib would have already fought Dos Anjos by now had he not gotten his knee injury because he has a win over him. So yeah, both of these guys, the winner of that fight would have probably gotten a title shot. I think that's a pretty good safe bet.
Do you kind of try to spin this thing around? I'm not saying making Khabib a star or anything, but making sure as many mainstream people know his name because he is going to be a threat to someone soon, and because he can carry his weight when it comes to selling the fight.
Yeah, I would like build the thing around him. I mean, the problem with Khabib that is that two knee surgeries and a couple of years out, even though he's young, we don't know what he's got. I mean, we don't know how much, if any, you know, maybe he's not, he wasn't hurt, you know, he's 100% and he's going to, you know, just trash this guy. But we don't know. I mean, the old Khabib was a wrestling machine. I mean, I remember he had that one fight where he had like 28 takedowns. I mean, he was just, you know, almost like unstoppable. And I mean, when he fought Dos Anjos, I mean, he pretty much dominated Dos Anjos, and Dos Anjos has been killing people ever since.
I got to ask you this question since somebody texted about it. We've been asked this question a million times. We've blown it off a million times. This Gallows and Anderson being known as the Bullet Club. But interestingly enough, today on WWE.com, they are referred to as the Bullet Club.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the right hand not knowing what the left hand is doing and just not knowing what to call them, or are they actually trying to make some sort of deal?
I don't know. I don't know. That's interesting because, you know, the Bullet Club is owned by the New Japan Pro Wrestling owns the Bullet Club. I don't see them selling that. But who knows?
Now, I will say that they refer to them as the hashtag Bullet Club. I don't know if they think they can get around it
and
like
that's
that.
That's probably a weird thing. I don't think they would be able to get around that.
Imagine if for some reason some WWE star, if Wade Barrett went to TNA. I mean, TNA is not going to get around it by calling him hashtag Wade Barrett.
No, not at all. And the other thing, too, is that the Bullet Club is used in Ring of Honor. It's not just used in Japan.
That's right.
And, you know, New Japan has given Ring of Honor the right to use Bullet Club, obviously. So you can't go in there and go, well, it's only Japan. And New Japan's already on television in the United States, so you can't say that it's not known in the United States. So sometimes WWE, it could just be people doing something that haven't gotten checked, and it also could be a more of a big company directive and kind of like we're WWE and we can do whatever we want, but who's going to fight us? And if they do fight, you know, then they'll have to back down because there's no way WWE can win this one.
And it does appear that he will be Shinsuke Nakamura in WWE. Doesn't look like he's going to be changing his name.
Yeah, well, he shouldn't because he's again, one of the keys to him is that they want to use him to help sell the network in Japan, which isn't doing all that well. And they also want to use him as the big star in the foreign tour. And in Japan, Shinsuke Nakamura is a really big name. And if he changed his name, it's not like Kana to Asuka. I mean, the number of people who know Kana in Japan is very, very small. I mean, she was with a small promotion. I mean, Nakamura's with the top promotion there and was one of the top guys with that top promotion. He's been on television. He's done MMA. You know, he's been a name there for, 13 years. So there's a mainstream thing. And so honestly, would be foolish for WWE, as far as at least the Japanese side, to not call him Shinsuke Nakamura. So, and in the United States, that's what he's known as well. So, and he's already over as it. So, I mean, they still may change his name when he goes to the main roster. But actually, you know, in most cases, I mean, I get why they would do it. But this case, it would be a mistake to change his name.
All right, well, Dave, I want to thank you as always for doing the show today. Dave and I are up three times a week, WrestlingObserver.com, three times minimum. You can check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. I'll give more information on how to subscribe after the break. And back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. For the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates. Three radio shows. Actually, Sunday we do four radio shows. I average about two a day, but there's so many radio shows up there for everybody. If you love this show and you can't hear it live or you miss a portion of it, the commercial-free version is always up at WrestlingObserver.com within a few minutes. We got shows with Dave Meltzer, Lance Storm, Filthy Tom Lawler, The Brian and Vinny Show, Figure Four Daily, The Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. The list goes on and on. There's 8,000 shows in the archives, and usually between 18 and 20 new shows a week. You can podcast the shows. It's so easy if you've got a commute. Heard from so many people at WrestleMania that commuted, and they loved the website because when you sign up, you get podcast access, and you just listen to shows on the way to and from work and traffic. So check it out. You also get access to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Figure Four Weekly, back issues of both newsletters. You can always listen to our Retro, Raw, and Nitro reviews on Tuesday, and then go read the newsletters that talk about those shows. There's all sorts of great stuff WrestlingObserver.com. It's only $10.99 a month. I've said it a million times. If you like this show, I guarantee you that you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. Try it for a month. If you don't like it, you don't have to sign up ever again. But if you do, I think you will. I want to mention here that we didn't talk to Dave about this, but the story with Lyoto Machida and his being pulled from the UFC on Fox show this weekend. He was taking an out-of-competition drug test, and you have a form that you have to fill out, and it asks if you are taking any supplements. And he wrote down that he was taking 7-Keto, which is a DHEA supplement. You can get it at any health food store. It's in vitamins at GNC. This substance is everywhere, but it is banned. And for some reason, he was unaware of this, and he wrote this down, and so he's been pulled from the event. It's the craziest story. He didn't even fail.
What a dummy. And not even, you know, you know what it is. He's been around long enough. He's, what, 40? He's pushing 40. He's been around long enough that I don't want to hear this 100% blamed on his team, which deserves a lot of blame. In fact, it deserves a majority of the blame because you're around an athlete to obviously leech off that athlete, but also to protect that athlete from themselves sometimes, to help manage them, to help guide them. It's 2016. Every single major sports organization, every minor sports organization, anybody that puts limitations on what you can put in your body, whether they be illegal or legal, has a list of those things, and it is available upon request. And it is up to you, if you are going to take supplements, to get those tested or to make sure that you have those set to the side where these are things that, I cannot take. I cannot claim them. I cannot take them for whatever it is. And I don't mean to sound overly cynical, but I wonder if has there been a test that took place, that what exactly was the deal? Because if he has been taking this as he claims and that it has only became illegal this year, which I think is the excuse that not Sharapova, who's the really good.
It's not true.
What's not true?
It's been banned in competition by everybody for, I think, 2 decades.
Yes. So has he been taking this? Because I want to know that, because if that's the case, why has this not come up before on any sort of test if it's illegal?
You want to know why?
Something that's tested.
I'll tell you why. Because he's taking a supplement that allegedly has X amount of DHEA in it. Who even knows? It could be 10 milligrams. It could be 50. Who even knows? But the point is, it's a supplement. So who knows how much of it actually gets into his body? And maybe he may have so little of it in his body that it wouldn't even show up on a drug test. That's why it's mind-boggling he was even taking it.
What does it say? So he just, and there's a lot of questions about this, and I know it's probably not, they're not fun ones, but it's like, okay, so did you just start taking this? I mean, you've been successful for a long time. Is this something you felt like you need? Like, there's a lot of questions, like legitimate and ones to poke fun at too, but the obvious one is to poke fun at this because you are responsible for what you put in your body, period. And your response, I don't understand a lot of these supplements anyway. Then again, I'm not a high-level athlete. But it's just so ridiculous to me that you could write down something that is so obviously on the banned list. Like, where's the check and balance on this? And this guy is not poor. He's not part of a small team. You would figure there's somebody there. It's just, it's such a ridiculous story, but I guess we're in a ridiculous time for some of this stuff.
Well, I can say this. The supplement that he took, if you go to GNC, you can go to the area, and there's like 9 million different DHEA supplements.
Which, by the way, can you like give a Cliff Notes version on what exactly, like, you know, this is supposed to do for you?
Well, that's what's funny. It's a male hormone, and it naturally drops as you get older. And so all it is replacing this hormone. It doesn't convert to testosterone. It doesn't convert into anything. And I've never heard anybody who said, oh man, I'm going to go get some DHEA to improve my athletic performance. I've never heard anybody say that. Who even knows? Yes.
Does it wake up any? Is that it? Because I know the selling point on a lot of this fountain of youth sort of stuff as you get older is, you know.
Yes, Mike?
You know what I mean.
No, what do you mean?
Sometimes you
the know. Point of this is it's a
you know
supplement.
What I mean? Is that what it's used for?
Like I don't
Anderson
know.
Silva?
I don't know.
Horny goat weed.
The point is it's a supplement, and if you go to, I'm not even just talking DHEA, but if you go to GNC and you grab any sort of supplement, and it says on the label there's let's say it says there's 50 milligrams in there, okay? You can go through a Consumer Reports or whatever, and they check out all of these different supplements, and it's widely varying how much is actually in there because the supplement industry is unregulated. So the irony of this is maybe he got a 50 milligram, 7-keto supplement. And if he would have taken it to a lab, they would have found out there's virtually no DHEA in it whatsoever, which is why he passed his tests. But he put it on his form, and so now he's been pulled from UFC on Fox. That could have been what happened, which would be hilarious. Now, my defense that I was trying to get to was, if you go to GNC, you will find the shelf where there's all of these different DHEA supplements. And right there on the label, it says DHEA. Now, what he took was 7-keto, which is, I don't know what it is. It's something, I don't know if it's like supposed to be a more concentrated form of DHEA, or maybe it's supposed to be like a form that more readily is available. I don't know what it is. But the point is, on the label, it's going to say 7-keto. And maybe in small print, it'll say DHEA on the back. So maybe he knew, I mean, I'm stretching here, but maybe he knew that DHEA was not allowed, but he didn't know what was in his 7-keto, and so he put it on his thing, and he ended up failing.
Well, you know what? I think if we've learned nothing else from this, we have learned that 7-keto is far more effective at KOing a man in mixed martial arts than hap-keto.
Wow. Let's go to the studio, and you don't know that wasn't Chuck Liddell a hap-keto fighter?
No, he was a pit fighter. We go with that one for him, don't we? Hinkleman pick fighting.
He did some sort of martial art. Let's go to the studio line. You're on the air. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys. This is Eric in Chicago. I just want to say very quickly, I've been listening to Observer Lives for several years, and these past few Observer Lives, I think, are some of the best yet. So you guys are on fire right now.
Thank you, Eric in the go.
Fake Shore Drive.
Two questions very quickly. First off, what, in your opinion, was the best period in time for TNA wrestling as far as putting on entertaining shows?
Mid-2000s.
Chance to see, what is that?
Mid-2000s, when they were actually doing stuff with their X Division and it was different.
Okay, cool. And then for my second question, what was the event or point in time that got the ball rolling downhill to where it gained so much momentum where it could not be stopped? Was it when they started touring and losing all that money, or losing Spike, maybe just bringing back Rusev too many times? At what point did we realize the ship was sinking and it was already full of water?
Oh, I knew it was sinking when they ran that first ever pay-per-view and thought they were going to get 50,000 buys for a weekly pay-per-view with no television. But as far as like after they'd gotten on Spike TV and everything like that, when they brought in Hogan and Bischoff, and they thought, I mean, listen, everybody, I just plugged the website. You can go into the archives. Go back to the end of 2009, because I think it was January 2010 where they went head-to-head with Raw when they moved to Mondays. Go back to December of 2009, and you can listen to every show I did where I explained, like Nostradamus, why this was going to be a horrible idea, why they were doomed to fail, why everybody who thought that this was a great idea didn't understand the first thing about why Nitro beat Raw in the Monday Night Wars for years before the game turned around. Why there were absolutely zero comparisons between TNA in 2009 and WCW in 1995. I explained this all in in-depth, intense, great detail. And at the end of the day, I was absolutely 100% right. I wasn't wrong about anything. And you can go back and listen to that right now. It was mind-boggling that they thought, oh man, if we take TNA Impact and we put it head-to-head with Raw, it's going to be a new Monday Night War. I was like, are you guys out of your minds? And the answer was yes, they were out of their minds.
Yes, they were. Yes,
and
they
were. And if they would have thought about it, if they would have had any understanding of the original Monday Night Wars, they wouldn't have made such a stupid mistake. But they didn't.
And as bad as the touring was, and it was dumb, and it was bad, it was all of that money good money that was thrown after bad for so long that it just did that accelerate it and ice the cake? You bet it did. Did knocking out, you know, but did that hurt the company any worse than consistently month after month after month offering up pay-per-views that were very expensive that you had to upload and all that stuff that went around it and then never sold it because you were worried about TV ratings that really didn't matter? You know, it was that hole in the boat was there from Jump Street, and they had some chances and they never capitalized on anything, and we are where we are now.
So I just got a note on Twitter right here. It says that Kyle Kingsbury is claiming that DHEA was not banned as of last year. So I'll have to investigate that. I know that it's been on the ban list for the Olympics, for example, and all sorts of different sporting events. Maybe it was okay in UFC until a year ago. I don't know. But again, as far as a supplement that's going to really be turning your life around as a full-time professional mixed martial arts fighter, I don't know. Maybe it turns some people's lives around, but I've never heard anybody calling it a miracle drug.
The thing is, it doesn't matter. And again, for a team that size, too, if this is all true, then let it be a real big wake-up call for everyone to have to stay abreast of this stuff and stay on it, because it would be, in theory, the second person to have something happen. So, I mean, for God's sakes, this list has got to be up there with these physicians and everything else. And maybe UFC, even though it's you're babysitting grown people, needs to just send this thing out in an email blast constantly to everybody at all times to, hey, stupid, if you do this again and you screw up our fight card, especially a big one, maybe there's going to be more consequences than just USADA.
And to be fair, if you look at the list of banned substances, I mean, whether or not DHEA does anything, I mean, there's a lot of other substances that largely are not going to spell the difference in a fight between Cain Velasquez and whoever. I mean, we're talking like there's antihistamines that are on the list, which is that really going to improve your athletic performance dramatically if you took an antihistamine before your fight? I mean, maybe you'll get a little bit of a, I don't know.
So you'd be drowsy. Can you imagine? Actually, only the Diaz brothers would use that in conjunction with a fight.
Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network. All right, I only had a couple of minutes during the break to look this up, but it does appear that DHEA has been banned for a long time by USADA. It is possible that they added 7-Keto to the list recently. But since it is a DHE supplement, it would have been banned prior to that anyway, even if you don't list it as that actual supplement name on the ban list. One way or the other, he should have known. So that's the story there. We're out of time, everybody, but we got a lot of stuff coming up. Dr. Lucha is going to be joining us tomorrow for 2 segments. He hasn't been on in a few weeks, and there is a lot to talk about. So the Dr. Lucha himself is going to be on the program tomorrow. 2 segments. Most likely, if you do not want Lucha Underground spoilers, it is probably a bad show for you to listen to. We're in a situation now where they've taped a year in advance. If you're a Lucha Underground fan, it's going to be very, very difficult for you not to hear about something that was taped a year ago. But if you want to keep trying, if you don't know what's going on, don't listen to tomorrow's show after the first segment, because we're going to be going over all of that stuff and everything that's going on in regards to AAA, CMLL, etc., etc. We got a lot of great shows and newsletters up on the website right now, so I suggest you head up there and check those out. WrestlingObserver.com. Sign up. You'll get all of the shows, all of the newsletters, everything, and you will not regret it. I want to thank everybody today. Mike, as always, all the folks at Sports Byline USA, all of you, the callers and listeners, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Every day, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sports Byline USA. On the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.